In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello? I know God saved me for a reason, but I guess I'm still searching for what that reason is.
Too much blood of Christ.
It's a miracle. You are with child.
Out of all the women in the world, why did he choose me?
How can we trust what's inside you?
Suffering is love.
No one
suffering, suffering, suffering is love.
Hello and welcome back to Cinemania World for a new show we are calling Cinemummies. The Cinemummies are back, and this time I guess we're just loving all the surrealist kind of horror female-centric movies that are coming out because we're back with yet another dark piece of cinema. But before we get into that, my name is Josie, and today I'm joined by some very lovely fellow Cinemania World girlies, as well as a newcomer has entered the chat. So I'm joined by Manda, Meg, who you may know from the Love Lies Bleeding review, and also we are joined by fellow horror lover, Jordy. Hi, Jordy, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Very excited to chat this bloody film.
Absolutely, especially that third act. Oof. But how is everybody else? How's everyone doing? How's life?
Life is good. I've been reading a lot, so that's been like my happy place right now.
That's
life
always good.
Life is good. It's not snowing now, it's raining.
Oh.
Precipitation.
You mentioned a storm. How's that looking?
It's actually not raining anymore, thank goodness. Okay. It was literally downpouring. Like, I went to the thrift store after work, mm-hmm. and I had to park so far away, and I was soaked by the time I got in there, and my hair is still wet. I was in there for, like, 2 hours.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
But also very appropriate that, Meg, you're doing this despite the conditions where you are right now, because you were quoted by Neon for Immaculate. Congrats.
Thank you. It was I was just scrolling through Twitter, and I have it like filtered to where it's like the newest is at the top, and I like refreshed my feed, and I was like, wow, that kind of sounds like something I said. And I was like, that's literally something I said. And it was cool. It's the first time it's ever happened, so.
Yeah, and they followed you, so giving you your flowers.
Like, I know. And literally, I was on my phone. Again, I was on Twitter, always on it. And I just had, like, this notification pop up. And I was like, no way. That has to be, like, you know how, like, people make fake accounts? I was like, that has to be fake. Mm. And no, it wasn't. And I was like, I work with my mom, so it's actually pretty cool. And I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, what? I was like, she wouldn't understand. Like, I was like, oh, it's like really cool, like movie thing just followed me. And she's like, oh, that's nice, sweetie. And I was like, mom, you don't understand. This is crazy.
That was me once. Sorry, Neon. Once I interviewed for A24, I unfortunately did not get the job because it's very competitive. But I remember I was freaking out. My mom was like, what? And I had to go like through the whole history. Like, A24 started as a distribution company. God. And now they're like an indie production company. She was like, oh, that's cool.
I love that.
But that means we have recruited the best of the best to discuss this film today. I have also read your reviews, and I read and watched your review, Amanda. Hey. And I have some questions, so hopefully you make for a very good conversation, because the film has been out for a bit, so people have gathered their opinions, but I'm glad that at least from the brief moments we've been able to discuss the film, I feel like it's an overall hit with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes.
That makes me happy. Which also, I think it was you that mentioned it, Amanda, that this might hit different for women as opposed to men.
Oh, definitely. Like, I felt like I was sitting beside, like, these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was, like, cringing and grabbing my seats and, like, especially in the third act of this film, like, there was so much tension there that could only be felt differently from a woman, because there were a lot of men just laughing at certain scenes. Meanwhile, I'm like, I can't even look at what's happening. So I genuinely felt that watching it. And I don't think, no shade to men, but like, I don't think they're going to understand how layered this film is. But mm-hmm. I think that women will be affected by it. And I think that it made an impact.
Also, something that you mentioned was that you felt uncomfortable because people were laughing throughout the film, not just at certain moments, like throughout. It was a consistent thing that was happening. And did anyone else have that experience? I didn't, at least.
I think I did. I was lucky to be at the premiere at South By, so it was like a packed theater. Amazing. I think, though, at least how I perceived it in my theater, probably because people were really invested, is most people I feel like were laughing out of like uncomfortable points in the film, I think.
Yeah.
Or just like, I think there were some moments maybe with like the older nuns, because old people are funny and like, but yeah. I hope, I mean, maybe I was misinterpreting it, but it didn't seem like people were laughing to like poke fun at the film or like not take it seriously. I think people are maybe just squirming in their seats a little bit.
Yeah.
I know for mine it was like an excessive amount of laughter to the point I think that they were, I would like to think that they were like feeling uncomfortable, but given that they were laughing at weird moments, I think they were just like, I'm gonna give this movie a 1 star out of 5, and like I could already tell that that was the vibe, because I don't know how people were laughing like that much. So I felt weird. Yeah, it sucks. But I'm happy that like you kind of perceived it differently for your screening, especially at South By. But yeah, it's questionable what people can laugh at, I think.
Oh, totally.
I'm very thankful. There was like, I mean, there was maybe like 7 other people. Like I went with my boyfriend and he didn't laugh or anything, and he was like squirming too. So that was, I felt like I made the right choice, you know.
A good man,
a great man.
Would you say that this is the new litmus test movie for partners?
But nobody was, I guess maybe I was just so like so into the movie, and maybe I didn't notice if there was like giggles or anything, but I would have been pissed. I don't know how.
I think that's what got me, though, is that, like, I was terrified watching this. Yeah. And then I was ready to be like, can you guys like, shut up? Like, why are you laughing? Like, I was ready to see it because I was so, right? I was so invested. I think that's why it was so jarring for me, because there'd be such, like, intense moments and there's, like, giggling happening unless they were, like, they could have been high. And I was just looking at it differently. I don't know.
That happened during my Love Lies Bleeding screening, actually. People were, like, hysterically laughing. And I get it. Like, the movie has, like, some humorous moments. But also, like, I was just like, could you people, like, just relax? I can see why some people don't like going to the movies anymore. But my Love Lies Bleeding one, I was pretty disappointed with the crowd.
Yeah, there was also definitely a shift after we came back from the pandemic with movie theater etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like gone.
It is. Yeah. I was so mad. I remember during Barbie, during the Dream Ballet, and I'm like, I have mixed feelings towards Barbie, but I love the Ken Dream Ballet. And this dude next to me pulls out his phone and just starts scrolling and doesn't even lower the brightness. God. And I'm like, I am so
the rage that would fill inside.
Truly.
I hate
speaking
that.
Of female rage. I guess let's get into initial thoughts before we go into further specifics. We can start with Jordy.
Yeah, I mean, my initial thoughts were, of course, this was such an intense film to watch. I think that opening scene alone, I mean, the theater was like dead silent. It was like you could hear a pin drop. Like it was so just shocking, I think, to open like that. And then I think just overall, I went into it without watching the trailer. I didn't really read much into it because I was like, whatever, a nun, maybe some ghosts. I don't know. I'm into it. Let's see. And I was expecting it to kind of be more supernatural. So kind of as the story was progressing, it was definitely like hooking me a little bit more because I'm like, okay, this is something much different than I expected and kind of much different than I think a lot of horror movies kind of go with kind of that religious, you know, not even undertone. It's the whole movie. But yeah, just overall, it was just really, really shocking. That final sequence, which I'm sure we'll get into, was probably my favorite scene in any horror movie of like the last 10 years. I don't know. I just, that was wild.
I completely share that sentiment. And I'm literally saving our spoiler section just for the third act because Christine. But actually, can you tell that I'm excited to talk about this movie? Because I forgot to tell our listeners what we're talking about. But real quick, we're talking about Immaculate. Yay. And it follows Cecilia, played by Sydney Sweeney, an American nun of devout faith, who embarks on a new journey in a remote convent in the picturesque Italian countryside, which we love to see. I loved it. Cecilia's warm welcome quickly devolves into a nightmare as it becomes clear her new home harbors a sinister secret and unspeakable horrors. And I was on the same boat. I didn't watch anything. I watched like clips here and there that kept popping up, but I didn't know what it was about, other than, of course, nun, Italian countryside. And I thought it was supernatural, so I was pleasantly surprised with the direction it went.
Yeah, I think for me, what I love the most about it is that I guess I haven't seen religious horror outside of American churches.
Yeah.
So I think going to like such an amazing, I guess like architecture, like Italian architecture is like absolutely gorgeous. And it feels authentic more so given what the story is about. So I think that's what made me feel so invested in this film is the Italian countryside and the fact that you're exploring Catholicism there. And it feels like so ancient and just grounded even more so because the Americanness of the religious horror, I don't know, it just always feels detached. And that's why I don't really like those films sometimes. And I don't navigate to them. So this felt completely different in atmosphere, which I really appreciated.
Meg, what about you?
Yeah, no, I had no idea what this movie was really even about because I didn't want to watch a trailer because I wanted to be like so insanely surprised, and I was. I was solely basing my knowledge on the movie on stuff that like people I was following were like sharing. And I adore Sydney Sweeney, especially in the, I think the movie is called Reality that came out last year. I thought that was like her best role until I saw this. And, I was so impressed with her throughout the movie. The imagery that was shown in this film was just like so beautiful. The cinematography, the score is so orchestral. And I just loved it. I was terrified the entire time. Like that opening scene had me like hooked. I was so scared for like 89 minutes long. And the third act, yeah, absolutely blew my mind. I love horror movies, especially like religious horror movies that show you kind of the treatment that women have, especially with a lot of like the ritualistic side of religion. So this movie was great. Horror movies sometimes are like, Amanda said, like American horror that like has the religion sometimes I'm not super into because I feel like they exaggerate where they don't need to exaggerate. And this I feel like doesn't do that at all. This movie was great.
Amen. So actually going into the Catholicism, I love that you mentioned that because Manda, you also mentioned it in your review. And I was wondering if that happened to anyone else because I also grew up Catholic. I put it in my social reaction that I forget. I was in high school and I had to spend a day at a convent.
Oh, no.
So watching the film, I was like, yo, I get it. So did anyone's upbringing affect how they viewed the film? Because I feel like also people that are closer to that side of their upbringing and Catholicism, especially you, Manda, with your Italian background, will definitely change how you connect to the film. Because it definitely made me appreciate it. Like the way you said, Meg, there was more honesty and less embellishment. And I like that they weren't trying to be kooky.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think for me personally, because I grew up with it and in that way, I saw the nuns and like how extra they presented like their rights and how they had to act in a certain way at the convent. And once we got to Father Tedeschi and his relationship with Cecilia, I think that's when I started to get really terrified towards the middle of this film. Because I was like, oh my God, like this can literally happen. You know what I mean? Like this could happen. And I think with the Italian background for me, I just felt more connected to it because I've seen it firsthand and I've heard stories of how strict they've been. So yeah, it hits differently on so many levels for different people and how they can resonate with the story. And I think that's a sign of a really good movie.
What about you, Jordy?
So I didn't connect with it on a religious level. I had a very weird upbringing of Jewish grandparents, but like celebrated Christmas. So I couldn't connect with the religious piece. But, you know, my knowledge from, you know, other movies or just friends that I've had, just kind of like as an observer, I kind of echo what Manda was saying of it felt a little bit more grounded in perhaps like the truth of the religion since it wasn't like American and like it just looked like they went to some random prop shop to get everyone's costumes and like, you know, didn't really feel like authentic to, you know, the experience that a nun would probably have if they go to Italy. Yeah. It was interesting, though, because I did my, like, little TikTok review, and somebody had commented on it asking, like, does it mock, like, Catholicism? And I was like, you know, in my opinion, no. I think it's pretty respectful to the religion. Obviously, there's some things that happen, but I didn't find it to be, like, mocking. I don't know if you guys feel differently since you're, like, more connected to it, but
I loved it because it was kind of critical and I'm like, yeah.
I felt the exact same way, honestly.
Especially the moment where she questions when she has to kiss the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's so true, Bessie, because so much of Catholicism, especially at least my upbringing, a lot of what you're taught is women are inferior to men. And and throughout her life, in that comment, you could just see that it's like, oh, you are there to serve men who are quote unquote stepping in the place of Jesus. Who are you supposed to dedicate your life to? Because you're supposed to be in love with Jesus and everything. And I loved how they went there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that there's a line that I'm completely obsessed with. I'm probably like butchering it, but she said that like there's so much pain and suffering that of course God is a man. And like the second that line came out, I was like, oh, they went there. I was so like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, of course it's very critical of it, like Josie said, and I commend them for being ambitious in that way, but I still think that it was respectful, especially heading into the third act where it's very male dominated. And then you just see this gray area of men's purpose, especially in the clergy. what their purpose is. And there's like a gray area of like going too far and, you know, how to serve God and what they think it is to serve God. And it kind of can get, they can get carried away, as we saw in this film. So I think they really did dive into some important issues properly. I think it was tasteful and respectful, but they still had every right to like pull the mirror up to them as well.
Yeah, I agree. I especially loved how they kind of showed how two-faced some of it is sometimes, where they put on a front, especially the father, they put on this like friendly front to like get you comfortable, and then like they like really indoctrinate you in certain things. And also I personally didn't grow up super religious, but like my grandparents were. So a lot of my experience with the Catholic religion comes from, unfortunately, going to funerals. So I always saw it as like very ritualistic. Mm-hmm. And I think I said in my review, like, the one thing I do wish that they maybe touched on a little bit more was like the ritual stuff that they do, especially like that scene where she's like in that like beautiful outfit, you know. I wish there was just like a little bit more of that imagery.
Have more with that outfit. I'm like, yeah,
I know,
that
could have lasted a little longer.
Gorgeous.
It's giving Midsommar.
Yeah.
So I was hoping for maybe a little bit more of that, only because like I'm not familiar with it. And I thought that like the Catholic religion, from what I've seen like online or like doing my own research, the imagery is very like gothic in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I am obsessed with that.
It is very extra.
Yeah. So I appreciated how, because, you know, both of my grandmas were like very religious, and you know, you see the way that like they get treated, especially by like men in their lives, and mm-hmm. you wonder like how does something like that happen, or like what makes them, like what in their lives put them in that situation, or something along those lines. And I think it really does come down to what you're taught as like a child and growing up. Yeah. And you know, that you want to be like this mold of a woman that's perfect, and you know, so on. And I think that that's what I really appreciated about like what they showed.
I think it also speaks to the importance of Sister Gwen, played by yes. Benedetta Porcaroli, because I was talking about this with someone yesterday, and it didn't have anything to do with the movie, but I said something along the lines of, sometimes the first people to go to church are hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And I loved how she brought that forward, because she went to this convent because it was better than her previous situation. And she was the first to call them out, because she wasn't as blinded by faith as Cecilia, so she could see right through it all.
Yeah, I really like that that friendship, actually, because without her questioning it, then Cecilia wouldn't have started to question it herself. That's why the second half of this film, and I know we had mentioned this in the group chat, where it had trouble finding its footing in the mm-hmm. first half, but then when it really hit its stride in the second, and it was just like beat after beat, like you were like losing it like the whole time in the second half, because you didn't know what was coming. And there were constant twists and turns. But after that moment that she calls them out, like without her questioning them and just being this like a very tough person, a tough personality against Cecilia's meekness, was really important here. So I really liked her as a character.
Was Sydney's everyone's favorite performance, or did anyone have another standout?
I love her so much.
Yeah,
I
know. She's great.
I literally said on Letterboxd, I'm like, if one person ever says that this woman cannot act, I will show them this film, because there's no way that anyone can say she can't act. Like, it's impossible to me after that third, like that last like 15 minutes of this thing, which we will talk about. Mm-hmm. But like, there's no way, absolutely no way.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I wrote it in my review or said it somewhere, I forget, but I was like, it's like the last like 10 or 15 minutes that like just solidify the fact that she's like meant to be a final girl. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like needs to do horror. I know she's done like a couple of like thrillers, and she did that like Blumhouse horror special Nocturne like a couple of years ago, but I'm like, I want her in like a horror movie every other year at least, please.
Yeah,
all of them.
I think she she can rival Jenna Ortega in a good way. I want them both.
Oh yeah,
put them both in a movie.
Yes, please. That would be wonderful.
Yes,
I think she like you don't even recognize her like at the end of the movie from like where her character starts. Like every act in this movie, I feel like she's playing a different version of like the character, and that is very tough to do, I feel. And she kills it. Like the whole time I'm watching it, like, you know, the first act, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like the Sydney Sweeney that like I'm used to. The second act, I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. And then the third act, I was like, I get like physically, I was like, oh, I cannot believe that this is Sydney Sweeney. Like, it looks nothing like her. Like, her face even like transforms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like on an acting level, I feel like this like really just brought her into the caliber that I feel like she should have been in like this whole time. And people just, you know, people just set her aside as like, oh, she's a pretty face. And I'm like, no, she can act. Like, watch the movie.
I have to add to that because like they could have easily sexualized her as a nun because people would do that. And I'm really happy that that wasn't anywhere near what happened in this film. And I think obviously she produced it as well. So not that she made sure of it, but she.
Yeah, that really helped.
Exactly. And like she was, there were instances where it could have been sexualized. Cause I kind of felt that, but it was very tastefully done. Like, especially like the one scene when they're bathing, like that could have been completely different. So I was just happy. You know what I mean? Sorry, Josie, go ahead. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I love that you mentioned that. Cause I remember when we walked out of the film the first time, I desperately need to see it again. I've only seen it once, but when we saw it, in that initial watch, the publicists were there and they asked us for our first thoughts, and two of us were like talking about that scene because it's so nice that it wasn't sexualized, considering simply that's how they bathe and that is normal. And then also the contrast to when she has to take her clothes off later to wash off all the blood that you see in the trailer, and it's not sexualized either, which I totally appreciated,
because like she covered everything. And again, like because of what the scene was, she could have been like, no, we don't have to do that. But it was a choice being made, because I don't think it would have gone in line with her character whatsoever to just be completely like open to being that nude in that way. So I respect her a lot. And I think that Sydney Sweeney's navigating what's being said about her in the media extremely well by taking on these roles that aren't sexualized, even though that's what Euphoria did for her. She's trying to not change it, but she's just making really great choices, I think.
Yeah, I'll also add to that, because I had overheard one of my male friends who's also like in the film industry, he was discussing his thoughts with somebody who had tried to categorize this as like nunsploitation. And he was like, absolutely not, like kind of like fought back, because I think sometimes people just see Sydney Sweeney and expect her to be sexualized. And it's like, this movie is not a nunsploitation movie by any means, like at all. They did a really good job, I think, of giving her moment without trying to kind of, you know, she makes her own choices, but I think it's like not watering her down to just like a sex object, which I feel like a lot of men see her as. Yeah. And maybe those are the men in the movie that you saw, Amanda, that were like laughing because they were probably expecting, you know, eye candy, unfortunately.
Guaranteed. And I think this is just changing the conversation. So I'm really happy that people are defending her. I will defend her to the end of time. And I think the career path that she's on is very, very strong for young Hollywood.
Which is also so weird to see the nunsploitation thing. Sorry, I read it a couple of times in a couple of different reviews preparing for this review, and I was like, I did not feel that at all. But sorry, right? Meg.
You go. No, you're good. I agree with the, like, I'm very glad that her body was just wasn't sexualized. And specifically, I really appreciated that scene where she's running in that field. I feel like they could have made that. Yeah, they could have done something, made that sexualized in a way too. But they showed you like she's running and you know that hurts how she's running. Like there's nothing sexy about it, and it's terrifying. It's true. And I'm. Yeah. I'm glad that they focused on just how like violently she was running. Yeah, I agree. I think that the way that they showed her like being preyed on, they didn't have to focus on the sexual side of it, especially like her relationship with the father. Mm-hmm. It conveyed that it was creepy without him having to be like, oh, you're so beautiful, or, you know, what is, or in like the beginning, I appreciated how the guy said like, oh, what a waste. And I felt like that was just like, that was enough. Like they didn't need to like further on in that. Cause we all know, you know, like she's beautiful. So I appreciated the relationship with the father, making it very creepy without, you know, him having to be a perv.
Agreed.
Yeah. I love him in Money Heist on Netflix. I didn't know he was in this movie. So when she's walking down and we see him, I'm like, hold up, Alvaro, what you doing here? Why are you a priest?
I mean, he looked good, not gonna lie.
He was a cute priest.
I don't wanna say it that way, but yeah.
I forget what I said, but I remember there was one moment where I think he did something and I'm like, but if evil, why hot?
I know. I was like holding out hope like the entire movie. I was like, maybe he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like when she asks to go to a hospital or whatever. Yeah. And he says like, oh, no, we have everything we need here, or something like that. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, there's no hope for him. He's a bad guy.
No, he's bad. Cut the cameras. Yeah. there's no salvation for him. But I guess we can move forward actually to spoiler territory. But I only want to discuss the third act because personally it was my favorite part. I was so mesmerized.
Yes.
Especially those final 15 minutes, and which does include Alvaro Morte. So for people that haven't seen the movie, goodbye. We hope you like it.
Ta-ta, go see it.
You clearly can tell that we like it. It's fun. Go into it. Also, ignore people saying that it's tropey. The point of genre is to have those tropes. If it doesn't have it, it's not part of the genre.
Oh my god, Josie, preach, for the love of God, preach.
It's like the older thing. Rom-coms are so tropey, and I was like, that's the point.
I'm like, there's conventions in place for it to be enjoyable. Like, what is wrong with you?
But yes, people, go watch it, form your own opinion, and maybe come back to listen to this final part. But those final 15 minutes, oh boy, they were fiery.
Literally.
So good.
Yeah, who would like to go first?
I can go. I had no idea like where this was heading. I fully expected like her to have this baby and then like they take the baby from her or something and she has to like fight for it and like escape. So when she like goes into the catacombs, first of all, I was happy that they actually explored those because they mentioned them in the beginning. Yeah. And I was like, please show us. And it was like, I had such anxiety during that part because like, I feel like the lighting in this movie at times it was like maybe a little too dark, but this was perfect. It conveyed the atmosphere so well. And you know, every time she had a contraction, like I felt that. I was like holding my breath for her. I was like, "Oh, I can barely handle like my period cramps." So like having to fight for your life.
And the thing is that period cramps are tiny contractions.
Exactly.
So just imagine that tenfold. And this woman is walking in catacombs. God knows what's down there. It also probably stinks because of all the bodies. And then you have this psycho chasing you. And also, lighting-wise, I love that you mentioned that because I love that Manda, you mentioned it too in your review about the lighting. I love that in that scene or that sequence, we switch from the candles to the wonky flashlight because it increases the terror.
Yes.
It does. I mean, when that thing went pitch black like twice, I was like, what is about to happen? Why is it going off? But like you just, I feel like the more you play with silence, and the more you play with darkness on screen, that just immerses you even more. And I felt so connected with her while she was going through the catacombs. Mm-hmm. I thought it was absolutely brilliant in that moment. And again, like from the candlelight, it's just like all comes down to like shadowing and highlighting different angles that even enhances the fear on her face.
Yeah.
There's one shot when she's going through the hallway where she looks through a keyhole and you just see her eye. And I'm like, whoa, like that really got me too. So I was just in it. I probably didn't even breathe at one point. I don't know like what it was, but I was just completely in it. Like it was so intense that entire time. And she, oh, what she did at the end of this, which we will get into. I don't know if anyone else wants to add on to the catacombs, but like, oh my God.
Would you like to add anything to the catacombs?
Yeah. No, I'm ready.
You shall lead us.
Yes.
Lead us.
Okay. Jordy, you can take us home to that final sequence, that final shot.
Oh, yeah. So that whole scene, like you were saying, Manda, I don't think I was breathing. Like I was just mesmerized. The fact, first of all, I want to know how exhausted Sydney Sweeney was after filming that scene, because I'm sure it wasn't just one take. I'm sure they spent a very long time on it.
Oh yeah,
she has this like guttural scream that was just like echoing through the theater. I mean, I fully believe this woman was having a baby.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Fully believed it. I'm like, okay, nope. Yeah. Oh, probably. But I was like, yeah, I'm never having children. This sounds awful.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not signing up for this. But like, she's just alone. And it's such a tight shot of her just screaming. And there's drool and blood. And like, you just feel every inch of pain that this character is feeling, which was like amazing in itself. Mm-hmm. And then it just takes the most like bold and like twisted ending to like find, like, I don't want to be the one that gives it up, I'll let you guys take it. But just like that ending is gonna piss people off, but also like amazing. It was so beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the title of the film says it all, where you think the whole point of the film was that they were trying to bring forth the like Christ again, like a new Messiah.
Yeah.
So I think titling the film Immaculate, I was just like, these people are amazing. Once you find out that she's pregnant, I'm like, oh my God. And that she obviously was chosen, you know, so you have to feel like you're chosen by God. There's a special reason why you're chosen by God. And then I swear to you, when there was that moment of silence and you heard growling from the thing that came out of her, I was like, oh my God, they did it. They did it. And I was like, oh my God. And like at the end of the day, fam, like it shouldn't be controversial if you really look at it, because it's not what you think it is.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? I'm like, why are you saying it's controversial? It's not controversial. The thing is growling. Have you heard an infant growl? Like,
we saw the jars beforehand, so that baby was not all right.
Yeah, exactly. So, oh my God.
Natural selection is going to get it eventually.
Exactly. So then again, she has this choice. Like, what did I give birth to? You know, and then she grabs that rock. And it's like literally one of the best final scenes that I've seen in a very long time. So, yeah, I was just blown away.
I loved it.
Yeah, those screams are going to haunt me for a very long time. Like,
oh, yeah.
I can't even, like, you know, you hear stories like women give birth and like they pop blood vessels in their eyes and stuff from like pushing and screaming. That is like the vibe I got from this. I was like you said, like, she's literally, like, I believe 100% that she is giving birth right now. Like, I was so impressed. And what I said in my review, like, she was unrecognizable. Like, you see her in other stuff. Like, compare this shot to any shot from, like, Euphoria or something, and ask someone if that's the same actress, they'd be like, no, it's not. But I like how the movie touches on, like, a woman's choice. Like, she didn't have a choice the entire movie. Like, it was all, like, there was no consent. Like, she didn't give consent in any of it. Like, I remember her face. There was, like, a few scenes where her face, like, just, like, is ingrained in my brain. And one is the final, like, screaming shot. And the other is when she finds out she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Both of those, like, I want to see both of those pictures, like, put in, like, the same frame together. Because I'll be like, that's basically, like, her eyes have so much terror in them.
Everyone's so happy for her, and she's like, what?
Yeah. The final act of this movie, like, I want to rewatch it just for, like, that last act, because I could, like, I was so impressed with everything, like, her just crawling through those catacombs, and she has, like, that giant, like, cut in her belly now. She's just bleeding everywhere, screaming, and then she still has to, like, pick that rock up. Like, when she grabbed that rock, I was like, oh my god. Like, part of me was thinking, like, oh, are they gonna show it? Because, like, that would be insane. But also, I feel like they don't need to show it. I could talk about this movie forever.
I love that we never see the baby. I love the direction it went. I love that she didn't suddenly love this child that was given to her against her will. I also love how she just cuts the umbilical cord with her
teeth. Oh my god. Oh, I died. I think that's when I clutched my armrest. I was like, she's not going to do it. And then she did. And I was like, oh my god.
Because it's just, like, sitting there like, rah, yes.
I was just in shock the entire time. Like, God bless them for going that far.
It also makes me think, like, I could never be pregnant. Like, I could never, like, imagine, like, not having, like, resources to go to the hospital and being pregnant and then having to give birth. I could not do that.
That's why, like, any movie where it's, like, an apocalypse and someone's pregnant, like, The Walking Dead, I'm like, no. No, I would not be anywhere near men. Yeah, like, this is not ever going to happen. I would rather die.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
This is why male birth control should continue its trials.
Yes, please.
But that's a conversation for another day. So I'm glad.
That'll be our next show.
It really will. I'm so glad we enjoyed this movie, because I've been seeing kind of, like, even going into it, I remember I sat down for my screening and I was with a friend and he was like, oh, the reviews aren't really good for this movie. And I'm like, oh no, I'm scared, because I was excited for it. And then when I walked, I was like, wait, I liked it. What's going on? Of course, this is happening. But I don't know. Performance is really good. And it reminded me a bit of The Invitation, which I really like.
Such a good movie.
Which is, for people that don't know, it has Thomas DeHardy, and it's like a romantic horror Dracula film. And that movie disappointed me during the third act, so I love that it was kind of switched here. And the buildup in this one, I think, is much better, and that third act just really solidifies Immaculate to be a really good kind of cult watch for the future, a la Jennifer's Body. I'm hoping we can carry this. It's up to us, ladies.
Yes.
I will.
But I guess my final question is, do you think she lives?
Oh, it's such a good question.
I hope so, but...
I know, I don't want to say she dies.
I don't see how she can make it out of here, considering she came out of the other side of the catacombs and was completely rural, but I'm rooting for her.
I think once you're in a frenzy like that, no matter what happened to your body, your adrenaline's pumping, and I think that she would make it to some sort of open road.
Counting on the adrenaline.
A farm nearby.
Yeah, a farm.
Something.
Glenn Powell's in a house somewhere. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll help just you guys. Say that. That's the sequel. It's like, okay, we don't need an Anybody But You sequel. We just need an Immaculate 2 sequel.
He has a beard and some sheep. Oh, he's my, like, God. What's that going on?
He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, I think, man, this is a good film. It's a bloody exploration of bodily autonomy. It cements Sydney Sweeney as a newcomer as in the Scream Queen world. Ooh. And I'm glad we got to talk about it. So people, you guys should watch it. Any final thoughts?
Go see it.
Preach.
A few times. I was very happy to see that it was Neon's best domestic opening weekend ever. Because I feel like that's just going to give Sydney Sweeney even more say and more power in like meetings and pitching and whatever she wants to do next. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go see it. It's great. And enjoy.
What's so amazing that you said that is that she has made bank twice producing.
Yeah.
And I think that she's going to be a force of nature with whatever she does next. So I'm very excited for Barbarella to see.
Oh my God, how, yes.
You know what I mean? So I think that producing wise, she's been a very smart producer. So I'm just very happy to see whenever she's behind it, that it's making bank. And I think she's going to tackle like different genres because she freaking can. And I can see her doing that.
Also, yeah. In an interview, she says she grew up watching horror films with her dad. So this kind of warmed my heart. Also, Megan, I think it was you that mentioned your grandmother's.
Oh, yeah. She took her grandmas are in the movie.
Her grandmothers are in the movie.
Which is so sweet.
Yeah.
It's so cute. I thought that was so sweet.
And I'm pretty sure she took her grandmas to a premiere, and she took her dad to a premiere too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that is just so. I love it when celebrities do stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's helping her like make a name for herself too, which I love.
Majority, your final thoughts. Also, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I think my final thoughts were this is definitely a can't miss film. And if you can get to the theaters to see it on the big screen, please do. I'm so excited to watch it again. I think that it'll stand the test of time. And yeah, I want her to produce more films. I think she has a really good sense of self. And I think you can tell that she's passionate about her projects, which I always love from just anybody ever involved in a film, is knowing that they really love it and are proud of it. It kind of helps to translate to the viewers. So I'm excited to see what she does next, and I hope there's another horror movie in her future. It's okay if she wants to do a couple of other things, but like in a few years, give me another one, or like a horror series, like a mini series. Like, I'll take it, because I think she's killer, and I'll take it.
Yeah, this movie would not have worked without her, and I'm glad she believed in it so much. I'm glad we got it. I'm glad we got this cast, because honestly, she also worked on the casting and everyone worked so well. So
this gets a thumbs up. Impressive that she was cast in this 10 years ago. And like she just sat with it and waited for like her star power and her notoriety to gain and gain and gain to the point where like she could have this movie made. And she brought back the director and the writer and was like, we're doing this movie. And I feel like it's a great example of like believing in yourself, even if people are like telling you, oh no, it's not gonna work out. Like, if it's meant to happen, it's gonna happen. And I'm so happy for her.
That personally was what brought me to the screening, because when people are that passionate about something, you just have to give it a chance, and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, that's it for our Immaculate review. If you made it this far, congrats. I'm happy you're here.
Also, if you haven't seen the movie and you made it this far, I still hope you go watch it. Please support this film. And yeah, let everyone know where they can find you. We can start with Manda.
Yeah, you guys can always follow me over at AMXNDReviews on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. And you can check out my website, CandidXCinema.com, and my YouTube, Candid Cinema.
Meg.
You can find me at Wonder Meg, basically anywhere that has social media. You can find my reviews at Wonder Watchlist. And thank you for having me.
Yeah. And our lovely guest, Jordy.
Yeah. You can find me at JordyReviewsIt.com, mostly Instagram and TikTok, sometimes Twitter. Jordy reviews it. But yeah, thanks again for having me. This was great.
Of course. This is a great conversation. I'm glad you were here. And you can find me at the Josie Marie basically everywhere. You can also follow Cinemania World at Cinemania World on Twitter and basically everywhere too. Dwayne is pretty consistent with that username. You make sure to also follow the podcast wherever you get your podcast fix. And yes, that was Manda, Meg, Jordy, and Josie. And we'll see you in the next Cinemummies. Bye.